was saying, I had that bout with gout, and I get it every once in a while, and it's a painful thing to have, if anybody knows what has ever had it or anything like that. But this time, it tried to keep me down more and more, and I just kept praying and praising through it, and praise God, I'm here today walking, and I thank God all the way, because I know that that even though sometimes, you know, you can set, especially when you can't move around so much and you sit around the house, you start letting those things come across, and you know, you start thinking about stuff that not bad. I'm not saying that, but a lot of prayer, a lot of praise, and I'm glad to be with you here this morning, because I hate to miss these, because I love speaking to y'all. And what I'm going to do today is, are you ready? Chassie, you ready? Okay, here we go. All right, so this morning I am going to do something a little different. I'm going to go into history, and I'm going to back up a little bit. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk to it in a way, it's God's faithfulness through generations. Now, we know, if anybody has read the Bible, that God has been faithful through all generations. But how many of you have ever been reading your Bible and you skip the genealogies in Matthew? Now, don't lie in church, people. Come on. Raise your hand. Yes. You do, because when you get into it, it's like, I don't know who begat who and what begat what. So you completely skip it, but the thing is, we're going to go through it today. So you're going to have to sit here and listen to it. But no, you know, you open Matthew and see a list of begats, and your brain says, you know what, Lord, I'm going to jump straight to the miracles. And that's basically where we go. We don't want to read all that. We just want to jump straight to the miracles, right? I know I do. Matthew 1 starts like a Hebrew phone book. It's Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah. By the fifth begat, you're begging for caffeine. Am I right? But this morning, I want you to listen. Those names are not there. They're not there by accident. Those names are there because those names are there because God doesn't waste ink. He wants to give you a timeline. He wants to give you a genealogy. But it's not just a genealogy. It's a love story written in generations. What we're going to do this morning is we're kind of going to go through that. And I had two different services I was kind of picking from, and I'll save the other one for later, because I felt like this was something that if even one person needs to hear, it's worthwhile. Now, those names are not the family line. Let's just go this way. The family line of Jesus is proof, and I've got four things here. This is the proof, the family line of Jesus. God keeps his promises. It's number one. God uses imperfect people. That's number two. God's timing is perfect. That's number three. And number four is God adopts us into his family. Number three was God's timing is perfect. And four is God adopts us into his family. So today we're going to talk through that family tree. And by the end, we're going to say, I mean, by the end, you're probably going to look at it and say, now, wait a minute, that sounds a lot like my family. Because you are part of the family, each and every one of you. Each and every one of you is part of the family. So here we go. I want to start with Matthew 1:1. Are you ready? Okay, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. So here we go. We all know who Abraham was, right? Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Now, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, the father of Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeram, and Jeram, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, the father of Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, the father of Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of exile to Babylon. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to stop there just because every person I'm going to talk to you today about, besides Jesus, is in that part, okay? So, first off, we read that, and a lot of that is just name dropping. So, we're just throwing names out there. But you got to remember, when we start with Abraham, God promised Abraham, and remember when he said, through you all nations will be blessed. Everybody remember that. Through Abraham, all nations will be blessed. But then he goes on later on, and he promises David, your throne will be established forever. So we have, through all you all nations will be blessed, from the beginning, Abraham. And then from David, your throne will be established forever. And we got to think about that. Through this lineage, through this genealogy, Jesus fulfills both of those. Let's start with some prophecies here real quick. I want to start with the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10, babe. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That means it's going to be in that line. Next, we're going to talk about the house of David. Isaiah 11:1, please. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, and last and final, let's go to Micah 5:2. Born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Now imagine this. After saying all of that, all through history, God is, he's lining things up. He's lining things up, and he's setting it up just like a chessboard. He's like a chess master. Every move, every generation, every prophecy, setting up checkmate for salvation. And you know, God had, he had to be patient. He had to be patient, because if I had to wait 42 generations for that to happen, for something to happen, I'd be like, can we just Amazon Prime it and have it here by Friday? I mean, come on. Seriously, I couldn't wait like that. I need it by Tuesday. But that's not. His promises don't come with a tracking number. It doesn't come. It seems like it always comes on time. Always comes on time. And God's promise, His promises are like I know how many of you garden. You have gardens, right? A lot of you garden. So it's like planting a seed. So you don't dig it up every day to check it, right? You plant that seed in the ground, and you don't check it, but you water it. You trust that it's going to grow. You wait for it. And when it sprouts, you know, you really only God could do that. I mean, you think about it, that seed put in the ground, but that's within our lives. He's never late. He's always there. He always gives what we need. Just sometimes he's just early in slow motion. I mean, we all know that, right? Now, we can look at this as a family tree, as a family, and you all have, I know a lot of you have done your family tree. But now if you think of your if you ever think your family's a mess, you clearly haven't read Jesus' genealogy. If you think that you're a mess or somebody in your family is terrible, in Jesus' genealogy, there are a lot of people who were sinners. And I mean, that's his family tree. And I really kind of want to go through and touch on that. Now, when we talked about in the first, Matthew 1, verse 3, Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. So I really want to touch base on Tamar this morning. And I want to build a basis of what, as we as family, can really see that Jesus didn't have the greatest lineage. I mean, he had a lot of people in there who were great. But they all had issues. They had problems. There were a lot of them that had a lot of problems. But Tamar, and I'm going to read you a little bit. I'm going to start there, and I'm going to read you a little bit about Tamar. So we know that Tamar actually got married to Ur, which was the firstborn of Judah. And you can go through in Genesis, and I can't remember what verse it is, but you can go through that timeline and see where that's at. But Tamar married Judah's first son, okay? And Ur was his name. Now, Ur was wicked. He was a wicked person. And in the Lord's sight, he was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord had him put to death. So after Ur was put to death, Judah told Onan, and Onan was the second son. He told Onan to take the place of his brother Ur and to marry Tamar. So they're just basically, so Ur, the first son, died, passed on to Onan. Judah said, Onan, you will now take the place of your brother, because that was a concept back then. The brother was to pick up where the older brother, and it had to be with his wife, with his widow, okay? So Tamar, which was, and what it all entails is they're trying to get offspring, because we're trying to basically plenish the earth. So they wanted to make sure that Tamar, and it was within the family. If it wasn't Ur, then it was going to be Onan. And Onan, which was to rise up offspring for his brother. Okay? But Onan knew if he had a child or her, it would not be his child. So I'm going to get maybe a little graphic here, but it's in the Bible. And I want you to listen to me. So Tamar, which was, but Onan knew that it was not his child, it would be Er's child. So when he slept with her, he put his seed on the ground instead of in her, so he wouldn't have the child with her, okay? He wouldn't have the child with. Well, this was wicked in the Lord's sight. So it was so wicked that wouldn't be with his that the Lord ended up putting Onan to death also. So now Tamar has gone through the first son of Judah, has gone through the second son of Judah, and both of those have died. So what Judah did was he didn't want to pass on to the third son, which was to his last son, Shelah, for fear of him dying as well. So they were trying to keep everything in the in the family, but he was afraid Shelah, the last son, was going to die if he actually got with Tamar. So they sent Tamar to live as a widow, okay, and was. One day they was told that Judah was going to be in town. And Tamar, what she wanted was she actually wanted that child in that family, okay? So Tamar, she disguised herself. She knew that Judah was going to be in town. She covered herself to disguise herself, but she covered herself acting as a prostitute, okay? So when Judah came to town, saw her, he thought she was a prostitute. So what does Judah do? Well, he sleeps with her, okay? Here we go. He thought she was a prostitute. He slept with her. So as a payment, he was going to give her a goat, okay? As a payment, that was what she got paid. It was a goat. That was the payment. But Judah didn't have the goat with him, okay? Yeah, we're going here, I'm telling you. We're going on credit, yes. So, don't get me laughing. I kind of chuckled when I went through this myself, and I don't want to do that again. So as a pledge, she asked for something until he sent the goat, okay? Judah gave her a seal. I knew you all would love this. But what Judah did was he gave her his seal, cord, and staff, the things that he had on him at the time, basically as collateral till he could send her the goat. God, I love this. So actually through that whole thing, now he did not know it was Tamar. He didn't know that. He just thought it was normal, just a regular prostitute. Yes. And she became pregnant by him. And what Judah said was, well, Judah did send the goat, but she was no longer there, okay? She was no longer in the town. He did send the goat. She was no longer in town. But he said, go ahead and let her keep the seal, right, the cord, and the staff. Those are the three things. He said, just let her have it. Just let her have it. But when she became pregnant about 3 months, Judah learned later, about 3 months, that she was pregnant, and he did not know that it was her. That they were saying she was pregnant, and she was guilty of prostitution. So they were actually going to treat her and to basically judge her as a prostitute, and they were going to bring her out to burn her to death as punishment. But she sent word to Judah, which says, I am pregnant by the man to cover herself. I am pregnant by the man who owns these. That's the seal, the cord, and the staff. So Judah knew it was his. So she had two sons, Perez and Zerah. So they were twins. She had two, okay? Perez and Zerah by him. Okay, just show you that is the lineage of Jesus. Tamara is in his family tree. Tamar is in his family tree. That's just one of them. I got more. If you talk about Tamar, and Tamar was Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah. We just talked about that, right? Whose mother was Tamar. Now, I'm taking this right out of the Bible. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, let's talk about Rahab. This is all in Jesus' lineage. Rahab, I'm not going to go into as much detail, but Rahab was a Canaanite. Rahab was a Canaanite prostitute in Jericho. She ended up protecting two Israelites, spies sent in by Joshua. So she was a protector. But Rahab was an outsider. Rahab was not part of the Israel clan, was not part of the Jewish sect of that time. She was an outsider. She was a Canaanite. And she was brought into the family through marriage. But she was also a prostitute. So you have two prostitutes in his lineage right there. Now, Ruth was another. She was a Moabite. She was an outsider. But she was heavy in faith. But I want to use her because she was another outsider. So we're talking, it's not just about the Israel in this whole thing. And if you watch that as it goes down, you'll see there's more and more of that. It's not all about, and everything in from Abraham, and if you talk about the Jewish people and the Israelites, it was all kept within the Israelites. They were the chosen of God, right? But now you go to next, which was Ruth, a Moabite, which is an outsider, but she clung heavily to her faith. She was very faithful. Very faithful. I'm not going to go as deep as I did with Tamar because I thought Tamar was very funny. I needed to throw that in. Anytime you throw a goat out there, that's you got to laugh about that. Bathsheba was another one. Does anybody remember what Bathsheba was? Who Bathsheba was? Bathsheba was in a scandal that involved King David, right? Bathsheba was bathing on the roof. And David ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba, killing her husband in war, sent him off to the front lines and had him killed. It's exactly. But if you think about it, if Matthew were writing, if he was here today and he was writing this book and this genealogy today, it would really sound like Jesus, son of Abraham, descendant of a liar, a cheater, a soldier, a shepherd, a widow, a prostitute, and a king who couldn't keep his eyes to himself. And yet, every single one of them, God still used. Every single one of them. It's like God saying, I'm building a masterpiece of your family's blooper reel. Pretty much what it is. And that's what he's doing. So you can't say God can't use me. That's not something that you can actually put out there because God has used, I'm sure, a lot worse than you. If he can use Rahab, if he can use Ruth, if he can use David, he can use you too. Each and every one of you. You may not be perfect, but you are qualified. Amen? Now, when we look back to Luke's genealogy, in the book of Luke, you'll see that Luke also does a genealogy. But Luke goes all the way back to Adam, right? Not just Abraham. He goes all the way back to Adam. So he brings from Adam all the way down. Why? Because Jesus didn't come for just one tribe. He came for all humanity. That's why he came. He was here. So Isaiah 49:6 says this. What Chastity says. You don't have 49:6, babe? Read me 49:6, please. I will make you a light to the nations. That's prophecy. I will make you a light to the nations. You see, Matthew wrote his book. When he wrote his book, he wrote it to the Jews, the Jewish people. Matthew wrote it to them. But what Luke wrote to was the Gentiles. He wrote to everybody else so that they could understand what was going on at the time. Jesus didn't just come for one tribe, right? As we say, if he came for all humanity. So Matthew wrote for the Jews, Luke wrote for everybody else, the Gentiles. But if it was written today, if we actually had it today, it would probably go something like this. Mark would have posted it on Facebook, and John would have just dropped a poetic TikTok about it, as we all do today. Heart emojis, yeah, little emojis. I think of it like if you really look at it, it's like a Thanksgiving dinner. If you really bring it across, there's always room for one more plate at God's table. It doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your past, it doesn't matter what your family tree looks like. There's a space for you, for each and every one of you. You're not an outsider in God's house. You are family, not an outsider. Look at your neighbor and say, scoot over, I'm sitting at the table too. Scoot over, I'm sitting at the table too. So Matthew was for all generations. He was for all the generations. Matthew 1:17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. 14 generations. Now, that's, you see, the pattern, God's not random. He's got a pattern. He works through patterns. He's rhythmic. Galatians 4:4, babe. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Born under the law. Everything from the beginning, from Abraham to Mary and Joseph, everything from beginning to end was in line to bring us a Savior. Amen? Everything aligned. Rome built the roads, right? Greek was the global language. Israel was hungry for a Savior. Israel was hungry for a Savior. The problem is, folks are saying, Lord, what's taking so long, when they're looking for this Savior? And God's like, you all haven't even built the roads yet, right? Rome hasn't even built the roads yet, and you're already asking for a Savior. Everything is put, it's all put in motion in its time, okay? Waiting on God is like waiting on your grandma to cook Sunday dinner. It takes a while, but when it hits the table, it's worth every minute. Now, I don't want you to confuse God's silence with his absence. I don't want you to think he's absent, because he made a promise. He made a promise, and it's already on the way. It's in transit. So it doesn't matter what you're asking for, what you're needing, It's on the way. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." All this was built out in the beginning, from the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis, it all started then. But we're starting at Abraham. Abraham to Joseph and Mary. Joseph was a side of that, which was from Mary. It all comes down to one point in the genealogy that changes everything. That's Jesus. But it had to start somewhere, right? It had to have a beginning, and it had to have an end, which was Jesus. Amen? So some of us have been saying, you know, you really look at, go ahead and put up, I'm sorry, 8:15, please. Romans 8:15. "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. This means your last name might be broken, but your new name is redeemed." Your new name is of God. Some of us have been saying, I've got a lot of family drama. Got a lot of family drama. But God says, perfect. I specialize in that. When you come to Jesus, your bloodline changes. All right, you get a new father, you get a new inheritance, and you get a brand new family. Amen? You're no longer defined by your past. You're no longer defined by your parents. You've got royal blood running through your veins. Amen? From the beginning, Adam to Abraham, from Abraham to Jesus. It all had to start in one way. But the genealogy of Jesus teaches us this. It teaches us God keeps his promises. It's number one. God can use some imperfect people. Just look at Tamar. She was traded for a goat. God came that she never got. But God came for everyone, not just the Jewish folks, not just Israel, came for everyone, came for the Gentiles, came for everyone. God's timing is perfect. God's timing's perfect, and God gives us a brand new family. From Abraham to David to exile, from exile to Jesus. God's been saying, I got you covered. I got you covered. And now, through Jesus, your name has been added to his eternal family. Through Jesus, you're in the family tree, not by birth, but by rebirth. Revelation 7:9 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." Gives me goosebumps. A great multitude from every nation, every tribe, every tongue stood before the Lamb. That's the biggest family reunion I think I'll ever see. And you all are invited. There's not going to be any drama at that family reunion. I can tell you that right now. Nobody's going to burn the mac and cheese. And definitely not going to talk about politics anymore. And nobody's leaving early because of Uncle Larry. You know that Uncle Larry. We're not going to leave early. We're just going to worship and have joy forever. Amen? Amen. That's all I got for you this morning. Just wanted to bring that to you. From Adam to Jesus, every one of those folks played a part in who Jesus was. Every one of those folks. that time had to be there at that place for Jesus to end up where he was. That's our family.